speaker is Al V from San Diego.
Let me get this going. Hi, my name is Al, and I'm an alcoholic. And when I started going to these meetings, well, first I have 3 years sobriety. I've had 2 3-year stints. But I really started drinking years ago. I call it the crazy 80s. From 79 up till 83 was the peak of my drinking. I'm a musician, and the whole world was a lot of sex, drugs, rock and roll, but not enough sex, but a lot of rock and roll and a lot of drugs. And it was just what we did back then. There was no apologies if you did something stupid or hurt someone's feelings. I won't be mad at you if you're not mad at me. We were friends, we were all drunks, and we trusted each other. We didn't have to do all this immense stuff. And it got bad. I mean, for that time, I owned a studio, so I was in the middle, and the bands would come in, and you'd tip out with a joint or a beer, and you'll get a few extra minutes or an extra microphone, you know, whatever. It was a bribe, which I gladly accepted. And then at night, when everyone was gone, some of the bands, they would leave me like either roaches or joints, whatever, or a beer. But we all had a good time together. But at the end of the night was my time. I just was very much on my own. And it was just the way of life. Then I met who had become my wife, now my ex-wife. And we dated. The party continued. Then at about a certain point, she says, don't even think about kids till this shit stops. And I'm very disciplined, and I stopped for basically 15 years. Every so often, I'd do a bit, but it wasn't the way it was. I wanted to be a good parent. What I found out later was called a high bottom. I would go to meetings and say, I can't relate to these people. I never had these horror stories I hear. Never lost a job, never had a DUI, never jail. I was very functional, and it's a blessing and a curse. I didn't have to go all the way down into the pits to realize I had a problem. My internal signals went off early in the family situation. When I was single and all that, it was fine. No one was being hurt, but I felt in having a family, let me do my best. And so I stopped drinking. Here and there, I would go out a bit more. The marriage started falling apart. I was divorced in sobriety, so getting sober is not going to save your marriage, so don't let that be your reason, your only reason for doing it. It's a good start. It's a good framework. If you want to save your marriage, drinking makes it hard, but it's not going to solve all your problems. At a certain point, you got to do something, too. So I stopped drinking, and then my wife would walk around with wine. And, you know, I said, when she got pregnant, we both were smokers. She got pregnant, and I said, well, I'm not pregnant, so I kept smoking. I did that for about 2 weeks. I really felt like a piece of shit. Like, what kind of husband are you? I felt that's what you do. So she quit, I quit. This was the smoking. And then when it came to the drinking, maybe 5 years later, she'd walk with a glass of wine. We allowed her father to move in, the two of them with their wine. And I would say, you know, I don't complain. I don't, oh, I can't drink. I tried to make it look easy. But I says, you know, I really feel you should be stopping here. Well, it's not my problem, it's yours. All right. She was struggling with weight after all the kids. So we didn't have, so I would come home with ice cream and cookies. Okay, I could play that game. You know, it's not my problem. And eventually the marriage didn't work. So then I was out on my own and I started drinking again. I had my own apartment. I had no one to tell me, What time do I stop, by the way? I was afraid to talk. Now, what time? I got time? Okay. I forgot where I was. Does anybody know? Oh, yeah. Thank you. I had an apartment, and my drinking really took off full force. I had no one to tell me no. You know that Home Depot pail, that orange one? That was my vomit bucket. You know, you could find, no matter how dizzy you are, no matter how messy the room, you could always find that bucket. It glowed in the dark, and I didn't like that walk from the bed to the bathroom half the time. I never made it. I don't like touching the toilet when I got to throw up. It's kind of gross. So I had my designated vomit bucket. I'm very organized. I have a program here. And then after a while, I'm here now on my own. There's no one to tell me not to. I don't need any sign cards or anything. This time it's for me. I went a few times. I did 2-3 years. You kind of reminisce for the newcomers. If you do get a chain of sobriety, you do reminisce the old days. You say, man, I kind of miss it. And I do. I had a lot of good times drunk. But it's not that phase of my life now. It just doesn't fit. I'm in a band, and you think, oh, well, everyone's drinking. I was the only one who drank. Everyone else, you know, that I play with or the people who help, pretty much everybody's sober. All my heroes, even Keith Richard kind of toned it down a bit. A lot of people stopped. All my heroes, one by one, they're all stopping. And so it wasn't to be cool anymore because the cool people had stopped. And here's me, the poor schmuck, I'm still drinking. I says, no, this isn't good. So I started going to meetings full force. I did the sponsorship. I really did what had to be done. It's not easy, but I did it. Like I say, I'm a high bottom. I make it sound more easy. A lot of people really struggle getting sober. It's not easy, but I was just talking to someone before. I have a daughter. She's like 30-ish, and I've gotten that call. I'm in jail. Now I fear for her life, to be honest. You know, I hope I don't get that call. I know I gave my parents a lot of grief, and now I'm the parent. I've managed to let go, and just my God helped me. Her God will help her. She doesn't need her mother to help her. She doesn't need my God to help her. She's an adult. But I pray for her. I still don't take my own sobriety for granted. That's the trap for those who have distance and the newcomers. If any advice is don't think you have it, oh, I got this. I could. I'm forced to go to bars sometimes because I play there, but I'm not tempted. Once in a while. I'm more nervous at parties. You know, that I find very hard to do. I drank alone. I'm sober alone. It's just, you know, I came here tonight to get out of the house, and I look at that. This was not on the agenda. I'm filling in for someone who wasn't here, so please bear with me on this. I figure I'll just start talking and hope I don't say something stupid. So far, so good. I think I got a minute left, nothing stupid. So, again, actually, it's a privilege and an honor for me to be up here. I hope I've said something to make it a little easier for the newcomer, because it's not easy. Nobody said it was, but the rewards are phenomenal, you know. Quitting smoking, I'm happy with that, and stopping drinking. Mine was a mental obsession. I could physically not drink, but I would think about it all the time. So I just go to meetings. I surround myself with a supportive group. That's the best thing. It helps in many other ways. I could not have made it through my divorce without AA. It's just an emotional group. It's a group that helps each other, whether you're struggling with sobriety or spouses or whatever. It's a good place to be. And you don't go to one or two meetings. You got to make it part of your life. The last thing, their sponsor says, you know, you have to go to meetings. And the guy will go to meetings. And he says, how long do I have to go to these meetings? You have to go until you want to go. And that, I can't believe it now, but this, not it is my social life, but it's a big part of my life. I go to a 7 a.m. almost every day. I'm here now. It's Saturday night. What the hell am I doing here? You know, we're all losers. but, you know, it's okay. And it, you just keep trying. Stay with the meeting, stay with a support group, and get a sponsor. So thank you. Thank you.